is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. In 2022, Cincinnati Mayor Aftab Pureval convened a group of business, civic, and community leaders to take a comprehensive look at the city's finances and recommend changes to help ensure Cincinnati's success in the years ahead. The group, called the Futures Commission, issued its final report in April. That report included recommendations to increase the city's earnings tax, institute a new waste collection fee, and sell off some of the city's assets, along with dozens of other suggestions. Today, we're going to discuss the recommendations, how the community was involved in the commission's work, and the next steps for Cincinnati City Council. Joining me now are Cincinnati Councilmember Jeff Kramerding. Welcome back, Councilmember Kramerding.
Always good to be here.
Great to have you. And co-founder and CEO, Nia Bauke. Thanks for being here, Nia.
Thanks, Lucy.
Councilmember Kramerding, explain why the city needs a blueprint for the future. What are the big financial problems looming? What's at stake here?
The biggest problem for the city has been our budget deficit, the fact that our budget has been structurally imbalanced for about 10 years. It's been imbalanced to the tune of about $25 million per year. And you know, people get numbers thrown at them all the time, but to put $25 million in perspective, in the city's perspective, with our entire parks department, if we closed every single park and fired every single park employee, we'd save about $10 million. So that just gives you a sense of the size of the deficit we're dealing with. It's been going on, an ongoing problem for 10 years. And so one of the great things that the Futures Commission did was to highlight this problem, say that this problem is real and needs to be addressed.
And this, you mentioned the deficit. There are other financial problems that the city's looking at too. I know we'll get into some of those. Nia, the Futures Commission's final report said residents were broadly unaware of the city's budget challenges. What did your organization, I know Cohere does community engagement. What did you all hear from residents about that?
Yeah, so we're a community engagement and strategy company. We worked with EY as well, who conducted a survey of about 800 folks, and then we hosted 12 focus groups with individuals where we were able to get into some of the nuance, and commissioners were a part of those focus groups as well. What we found is that a lot of people were really deeply unaware of the inner operations of the city, which is somewhat unsurprising, but also really unaware of what is Councilmember Kramerding mentioned, which is the potential future of the city if some things don't change.
Mm-hmm. And Nia, at the same time, it sounds like the people in your focus group said, hey, we need more affordable housing, we need better paying jobs. Were those some of the concerns you heard repeatedly?
Yeah, it was definitely finding a balance. And I think one of the great things about the focus groups is we were able to spend 90 minutes to 120 minutes with individuals really getting into the intricacies around their concerns. And these are individuals from all different walks of life that are residents. Housing is a major issue at all income levels. Upper middle class folks want to stay in the city and are having a really hard time. And so as the city thinks about how they handle the deficit, there's also the need to identify how do you ensure that people want to stay in the city, be a part of the city, continue to work and identify as City of Cincinnati residents, which is a challenge.
Yeah. Councilmember Kramerding, this report says the commission's three driving goals were to increase the city's population, grow jobs, and shrink wage disparities. How does that align with the current city council's goals?
I think that comports very well with our council goals. I mean, this has been a very pro-growth council. We've been talking about increasing the population, growing our neighborhoods, creating more vital neighborhoods. What this report does is take it to the next step and point out tools that we don't have at our disposal or maybe could have at our disposal, more resources to grow our city and our neighborhoods.
We're talking about whether Cincinnati City Council could seek an increase in the city's earnings tax rate. That's one of the recommendations of the Futures Commission. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. So, Councilmember Kramerding, this final report from the Futures Commission makes a number of key recommendations to reach these goals, grow the city's populations, grow population, grow jobs, shrink these wage disparities. This recommendation, this final report, includes raising the city's earnings tax to pay for public safety and economic development. Walk us through those recommendations as you understand them and tell us what you think about them.
Yes, there were two separate earnings tax recommendations. The first was a 0.1 increase for economic development and housing. There is a lot in there as far as new tools and a lot to be excited about. The second part of the earnings tax was a 0.05 increase to address our operating budget deficit. That's the $25 million gap that we're just talking about. So the 0.05 would go to offset that existing operating gap.
And that's 0.05. Help people who aren't as smart about the city budget as you are in earnings tax, where earnings tax rates would go from what to what under those increases?
Our current earnings tax is 1.8. Mm-hmm. So I just mentioned two increases. A 0.1% earnings tax would bring in an additional $23 million a year. And of course, a 0.05 would bring in about half that. So that's the type of dollars we're talking about.
And so even if both those taxes were approved, the earnings tax rate would be below 2% for folks.
Yeah, that's important to note. I mean, our earnings tax is significantly less than our peer cities. All the other Ohio cities are at 2.5 or higher, and we're at 1.8. So you never want to raise taxes in a cavalier manner. You want to be very deliberate about it, which we are. We are below our peer cities.
Mm-hmm. This group also recommends a garbage collection fee. Talk to us about that and tell us what you think of it.
There are a lot of pluses that other cities as far as a garbage fee. I mean, there is a cost to throwing away garbage. I mean, right now people just put it out and don't think of it, but there is an environmental cost, a real cost. So other cities are looking at this as a green solution. There's 25 recommendations in the Futures Report. I think we should keep an open mind. I will say that we've received some initial feedback on many of these, and certainly the trash fee was at the top of the list. People have some concerns. So that's going to be part of the community engagement as we go forward.
Yeah. And you mentioned feedback. I know some of the things that we've heard is, hey, don't our taxes already pay for trash collection? Is that some of what you're hearing from folks?
Yes, and we are hearing that. People do view it as a basic city service in the city of Cincinnati, and that is fine. But we, again, are looking at a $25 million gap, and whatever the solution is to fill that gap is going to be, to a certain extent, unpleasant.
Yeah. Now, we talked about the recommendations for an earnings tax increase, two different recommendations there, and also this garbage collection fee. Wouldn't some of these need a vote of the people, even if I know council hasn't voted on these yet, but if we get into the hypotheticals, if council decides these recommendations are a good idea, council couldn't just make these things happen themselves, right?
Yes. Right now in the city charter, we are prohibited from charging for garbage. So that's in the city charter. So as a first step, if we went down that route, that would have to be repealed. And any earnings tax increase would also have to be put before the voters, which I think is a very good thing in this instance. If that becomes necessary, I look forward to going out and make the case to the citizens of Cincinnati.
Have you decided yet what you think of the earnings tax increases as they're recommended in the Futures Report? Or have you had time to think, hey, I think it's a great idea or not?
Yeah, since I ran for council 3 years ago now, I've always thought that a earnings tax was going to be necessary at some point in the day. There's just very few scenarios to close that gap without increased revenue. So are we going to grow the city? Absolutely. Are we going to cut cost? Absolutely. But again, the $25 million gap is very large, and closing that without a earnings tax is going to be impossible, in my opinion. And I think most of my colleagues in reviewing the Cincinnati Futures Commission are in that same area. And I think we're increasingly talking about what that earnings tax will look like and how big it'll have to be.
Again, we're talking about whether Cincinnati City Council could seek an increase in the city's earnings tax rate and other recommendations from the Futures Commission. You can join the conversation. Call 513-419-7100. Or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Excuse me. Nia, this report says in more than one place that Cincinnati residents are burdened with high taxes and fees, It did recommend this earnings tax, these earning tax increases, and this new garbage fee. Did Cohere talk to residents about those issues? What did you hear from people? Are they receptive to those ideas if it's going to help the city long term?
Yes. And I think the important thing to think about is that in some ways the city has a communications issue. When we were having these conversations, a lot of individuals do not understand all the services that the city provides. So in order to make the case for what we're talking about, there's some community education that needs to take place around even things like trash services. A lot of people didn't realize that the city is the one doing that work. So when it comes to things like fire, police, that makes a lot of sense to them. When you're talking about a lot of things related to the Department of Public Services, people really are unaware of how much money is spent in making their lives better as Cincinnati citizens. So I think that's a really big piece. With that said, it's a positive that came out of these focus groups is that people love Cincinnati. That is unsurprising. Of course, I love Cincinnati. People want to live here. And so with the right conversations, folks were able to get to a place where they were agreeable, not necessarily like all of the ideas that we were throwing out, but were certainly agreeable to some of the things that we're talking about, with the caveat being that the city would continue to invest in the things that they are concerned about as it relates to housing and safety in particular.
Okay. So it was kind of like, I'm not crazy about the idea of these fees, these additional taxes, but if it helps us get to the end goal, then I could get behind it. That was
yes.
Kind of what you heard.
Yeah. And it's just like with most folks, you're self-motivated, right? And so if they individuals are understanding that the city is really thinking about things and thinking about the budget and they have them in mind, they're more likely to be agreeable to something. It's important to remember that there are individuals that feel disadvantaged by the changes that are happening in the city, and they are a big part of our community as well. And so I think there's some skepticism around what an increase in taxes would mean for them and how it would impact them, or would it just impact growth and push them out even more?
Okay. We do have a caller on the line. Hi, thanks so much for calling. What's your question or comment?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air. Thanks so much for calling. What's your question or comment?
Absolutely. How does the city council think long-term residents who have been here for generations and have their children here, have their tenants here, when the property taxes have almost doubled, when people are building apartment buildings with $1,200 price tags on them for one bedroom, $2,500 prices for two bedrooms, only able for people from California, out of the city, people to come here and live.
Okay. Thank you, Thelma. So you're asking, I think, there are these high rents for these new properties that are being developed and created. What kind of impact is that going to have on residents, long-term residents? What do you think, Councilmember Kramerding?
Yeah, I think attainable housing and housing in general has been a goal of this council. A key that we have to acknowledge is right now that the supply is not meeting demand. People want to move in the city, which is a great thing. We've suffered from decades of disinvestment. It's great to see people wanting to live in the city, wanting to live in some neighborhoods, but that is driving up rents and housing costs. And the best way to combat that is to create more housing units, to build more housing units. We had the Connected Communities Initiatives, which council passed earlier this year, which was a part of that to make building housing easier. And then A Future's recommendation is to create the funding necessary for us to create more housing as a city. So this is, as we move forward, I think it has to be a tool to combat that specific issue that the caller mentioned.
Yeah. Thanks so much for telling me. I'm sorry to have cut you off. I really appreciate your call. We've got limited time, and we're going to move on to some other topics. We also got an email from Amber in Price Hill. Amber writes, with respect to city practices and parking enforcement, this is another one of the recommendations, noted in the recommendations is increased parking enforcement was reduced during the pandemic and maybe hasn't gotten back up to speed. Amber writes, why has the city failed to manage daily operations effectively and enact best practices already? And how does that not confirm that this administration has failed to manage the primary function of what a governmental organization is supposed to handle? So a bit of a criticism there, Councilmember Kramer. What do you think about that? Why hasn't that parking enforcement ramped back up already?
No, we'll take that as constructive feedback. With my committee, the Housing and Equitable Development Committee, we had a special hearing in Pricedale just to talk about these enforcement issues. So people are asking, as you grow the city, how are you? Isn't it important to deal with enforcement in conjunction with that? And the answer is yes. You know, COVID happened and some of our enforcement broke down, and we're in the process of rebuilding that. And I've seen increased enforcement over the past weeks and months, and that'll continue, and that has to happen.
Yeah. Another email we got came from Stephen Oakley. This is relates to the earnings tax increases that we talked about, the two increases that the report recommends. Wasn't part of the railroad sales pitch that the city wouldn't have to raise taxes? This is something that Steve addresses in his email. I know when the city was looking to sell Cincinnati Southern Railway, one of the things was, we need to sell this asset. We need to have this money in a fund to help pay for these infrastructure needs so we don't have to raise taxes. How do you respond to that?
So the railroad, as it's historically been operated, all of those dollars went to capital. Capital means bricks and mortar. We sold the railroad. We told voters that we were going to put it in a fund that would raise more money, but that fund would continue to go exclusively for capital as it historically has. So that's a pledge, a promise that I personally made to the voters. I think as a policy matter, that's critically important. And if we took those railroad dollars from capital to operating, first of all, we'd be breaking our promise, and secondly, be very counterproductive because those capital dollars go to pave our streets and take care of our parks and our other facilities, which is critically important. So using the railroad funds, the railroad funds, or now what we're calling the railroad trust for operating, would be counterproductive and very bad policy.
Do you think voters understood that the no new taxes was no new taxes for capital versus no new taxes for operating?
No, I think we're going to have a lot of community engagement to do in explaining what the railroad dollars were for. And what they'll be used for is going to be part of that. And as Thelma mentioned in her call, we're also dealing with higher property values, and people are feeling that pain. The city doesn't get much revenue from property taxes. That largely goes to our public schools and to our county services levy. But we're hearing from voters that, you know, they're still feeling the pinch, and where the money goes is not their primary concern. So that's going to be part of the community engagement that we've already begun, but we're going to continue explaining, you know, what revenue sources are and what we need as a city. Hmm. And what this revenue can be used to address the problems that we're talking about.
Neil, one of the things I thought was so interesting in the report, it looked at 10 other benchmark cities and how Cincinnati compares to them. These were places like Indianapolis, Louisville, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and others. It found Cincinnati ranked last among those cities in the percent of housing units where housing costs are less than 30% of household income. And that's how we typically define affordability with housing. How big a concern was that for residents when you talked with them?
It's a huge concern. As I mentioned before, housing was the biggest thing that came up in conversations and in the survey that we administered. So feeling housing burden is a very real thing for a lot of citizens in the city. And we're also seeing, we had a focus group with individuals who used to live in the city of Cincinnati, but left as their families grew, et cetera. And so we're also seeing that individuals who really want to stay here at all income levels are finding that it's pretty difficult to find a reasonable place based off of their preferences where they can stay in the city.
Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, you've talked about many times about how important housing is. We touched on that in this conversation, Councilmember Kramerding. There's so much in this report. I know I'm zipping around a lot, but one of the biggest looming challenges facing the city is its pension liability. This report has suggestions for addressing that, too. I'm
oversimplifying this a whole bunch, but my take is that it's essentially ask the state pension system to take over the city's pension system after the city contributes a bunch more money to the pension system to make it more palatable for the state to take it over. What do you think about that?
I think we need to be open to every alternative. I mean, as the report makes clear, this is a very long-term problem. The report calls for forming a commission to study it, and there's two parts. There's regionalizing the waterworks, which would potentially bring in revenue, and there is to see if there is a path to get OPERS to take over our Cincinnati pension system. So two enormous problems. I fully support a commission getting it, you know, perhaps people are tired of commissions, a commission led to another, but you know it's a very complex problem that's going to take years to study. So I absolutely believe we should look at every alternative, including this one.
Yeah, not a lot of quick fixes in any of this, for sure. We do have another caller on the line. Hi, Helen. Thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
Hi, I would encourage City Council to look at how you've railroaded the citizens, pushing over, selling the railroad, and connected communities, people at what you call community engagement were really clear about their concerns and largely did not want this, and you went ahead and voted for it anyway. So we'll not be voting for you. And Cramadine, I left messages at your office. You never called back.
Thank you, Helen. So, Councilmember Kramerding, obviously there's still a lot of strong feelings about the railroad sale, a lot of strong feelings about connected communities. What are your thoughts on that? Does this underscore the importance of that community engagement?
Yeah, so first, Helen, I apologize for not returning your call. But yeah, I mean, first of all, on the railroad front, I mean, I did support the sale of the railroad. I think that's critically important. We are talking about a relatively small, a comparatively small earnings tax increase of, you know, we're talking about a 0.1 or a 0.2%. If we had not sold that railroad, we'd still be facing an enormous capital problem, and we'd be looking at a much larger earnings tax increase right now of, you know, 0.3, 0.4, maybe higher. So the railroad did, in part, solve our problems or solve the capital portion. So that was very important. And as far as connected communities, we're always learning. As far as community engagement, that was a divisive issue. It was always going to be a divisive issue. It was very interesting. It was, from my perspective, it was a generational split. We're definitely younger Cincinnatians supporting it, and definitely some of our older residents had a lot of concern. So I think that was always going to be divisive, but we're always learning to get community engagement just right.
Yeah. Councilmember Kramerding, one of the things we've talked to you about this program several times before is this massive deferred maintenance problem. The sale of the railroad is designed to help deal with that, with the trust fund money that's going to be, you know, providing this revenue stream for the city. But now the Futures Commission is saying, hey, maybe we don't need this funding that's part of the earnings tax that has been going to infrastructure. Maybe that could be diverted to the general fund. What's your take on that? That's been a pretty controversial recommendation in this report.
Yes, of all the recommendations, I mean, this one has generated much conversation. It's of concern to me personally, just for the reasons outlined. If we start shifting capital resources to operating, like that percentage of our earnings tax, that's going to defeat the purpose and goals of selling the railroad. So I'm very concerned about that. I've had conversation with commissioners about the timing of that. So that's definitely been a part of the conversation so far. And if that doesn't happen in the short term, which I would not support, then what other resources do we have to close our operating budget deficit?
Okay. Nia, you know, we've talked about how your work at COHERE is really focused on community engagement. You did a lot of that as part of this Futures Commission work. How important do you think it'll be to talk with Cincinnati residents about these recommendations, just to get into the nitty-gritty, especially if some are going to require a vote?
Unbelievably important. I think that's a yes. And what I would say is that it's going to be very important that the city and council members engage with those who normally don't show up. That's why we exist at COHERE, is because oftentimes the voices that show up to the forums, send the emails, make the phone calls aren't necessarily representative of the larger body of the community. And so having conversations with what we call everyday experts, everyday people who are really living these issues, is incredibly important.
Yeah. And Councilmember Kramerding, August 7th is the next full council meeting, and it's the last day council could put an earnings tax increase on the November ballot. We've only got about 10 seconds, but do you think that's going to happen?
No, I do not think it'll happen this year. I am disappointed. It's a huge problem. I was eager to resolve it as quickly as possible. If that could have been this year, I would have supported that. But we did not have the time to do the community engagement that we all agree is necessary.
I've been talking with Cincinnati City Councilmember Jeff Kramerding and co-founder and CEO Nia Bauke. Thank you both for your time today. This is Cincinnati Edition.